Lecture, I'm covering information from Chapter 14 in the textbook, Centers of Civilization in the Americas, and my primary focus with this lecture will be the Incan Empire. We're really going to try to understand how this amazing empire fell so quickly. I'm really interested in the rise and the fall of the Incan Empire, utilizing basically looking at it as a prototype of a civilization. And what really fascinates me is that the Incan civilization by 1491 was the greatest empire on earth. It was bigger than the Ming Dynasty in China, bigger than Ivan the Great's expanding Russian Empire, and bigger than any of the African empires, even bigger than the cresting Ottoman Empire. So I think it's really fascinating to kind of understand how this empire grew and then how it so quickly unraveled. And that's what we'll understand during this lecture. What is also really interesting to me is we just finished understanding the Middle Ages. And by the waning days of the Middle Ages, the 1400s, we see European society starting to really rekindle itself. And next week we're going to be talking about the Renaissance, which really is the rebirth of life. It starts in Italy and it will really move throughout the European world. We'll start having many new inventions, the beginning of the scientific revolution, the dawn of the Enlightenment will all start taking place in the European world. So at the exact same time the European world is undergoing a so-called rebirth, we see the Americas really taking a massive downturn. And we can really use the Incan society to really understand this downfall, because in the late 1400s the Incas dominated over 32 degrees of latitude. They basically had a bigger empire than any European state. It would actually be as if a single power held sway from St. Petersburg in Russia to Cairo, Egypt. And the other interesting thing is that the Incan Empire encompassed every imaginable type of terrain, from the rainforests of the upper Amazon to the deserts of the Peruvian coast, and also 20,000 foot peaks of the Andes. So it really is an interesting enclave to observe. As one noted Oxford historian has said, quote, "The Inca were the most impressive empire builders of their day." So I really want to understand this empire with you and see what it was like, what its various components of a civilization, what they were, and then really try to think about this society going through a downturn as Europe is beginning its revitalization. With this picture of the Incan civilization that I've provided for you, you can clearly see that the Incan Empire covered a very difficult terrain. The Incans built their civilization 10,000 and even 14,000 feet above sea level. According to Cornell University anthropologist John Mara, nowhere else have people lived for so many thousands of years in such visible, vulnerable circumstances. And nowhere else on earth have people lived at such heights. They've lived in places where crops won't grow, earthquakes and landslides are frequent, and extremes of weather are the norm, repeatedly creating technically advanced, long-lasting challenges for the civilizations who live there. The Incan homeland was especially unique because where they chose to put their homes, as you can see from this picture, it was very steep. Some of the slopes of their empire were more than 65 degrees from the horizontal. That's quite steep. And it was also uniquely narrow. The distance from the Pacific shore to the mountaintops in most places was less than 75 miles, and in many places less than 50. to survive in these steep, narrow hodgepodges of ecosystems, the Incan people really had to be quite adept at survival methods. As you know, I like to understand a society, a civilization, by really looking at its key characteristics. So that is what we'll do once again to understand the Incan people. As we've been doing all year, the five key characteristics, once again, are advanced cities, complex institutions, advanced technology, specialized workers, and record keeping. And I will be taking you through each one of these key characteristics to better understand the Incan society. Now, some slides will have enough text on them that you will not get audio. And in some cases, I'll just flesh the slides out with a little more audio. Though the Incans developed an empire that really had not been seen before in terms of other civilizations, if you had to, in a generalized sense, if you had to compare them to one of the civilizations we've studied thus far, you might compare them to the ancient Egypt in terms of a particular construct. Both the ancient Egyptians and the Incan people worshipped a sun god, and they believed that the royal family descended from this sun god. They also, the ancient Egyptians and the Incan people, established a highly centralized state led by a divine ruler. And this divine ruler basically derived all its rights to rule directly from the will of God. And basically, the divine ruler had a religious and political doctrine that gave them the authority that they were above any other earthly subject. And similar to the ancient Egyptians, the Incan people mummified their dead. So in some respects, especially in terms of complex institutions, because the three things I just mentioned really fall under the rubric of complex institutions, the Incan Empire did have some similarities in terms of the construction of that empire to the ancient Egyptians. But I don't want the comparison to go much farther than that. So now what we'll do in the following slides is we'll literally look at, point by point, each key characteristic of a civilization as it relates to the Incan civilization that really was at its peak in the latter part of the 1400s. It's really kind of interesting, but the Incan Empire, which was the greatest state ever seen in the Andes Mountain region, was also the shortest lived. It began in the 15th century, which was the 1400s, and it lasted barely 100 years before it was smashed by the Spanish. Now, as I showcase for you on this slide, the Inca did establish a presence in the Andes by the 1200s, but they had only established a very small kingdom at that moment in time. And their kingdom grew very slowly. But by 1438, a powerful and ambitious ruler took the throne, and under his leadership, the Incan people really expanded quickly, conquering all of Peru and then moving into neighboring lands. So by 1500, the Incan ruled an empire that stretched 2,500 miles along the western coast of South America, from Ecuador in the north to Chile and Argentina in the south. They called this empire Land of the Four Quarters. Now, though the Inca had a powerful military force, they only used it when necessary. They were very clever diplomats. And with this information, I know I'm getting into a little bit of complex institutions when I talk about government, but I think it really belongs on this slide as well, because we have to really understand their diplomacy to understand how they were able to create such advanced cities throughout this very difficult terrain. So they had a powerful military, and what they did is, before attacking, they typically offered their enemy states an honorable surrender. They would allow their enemies to keep their customs and rulers in exchange for loyalty to the Incan state. And because of this kind of diplomatic treatment, many states gave up without resisting. Once an area was defeated, the Incan people would make every effort to gain the loyalty of the newly conquered people. According to a 16th century Spanish observer, the Incan people always had the mastery, but when the enemies were vanquished, they were not destroyed. On the contrary, orders were given to release the captives and restore the spoils and allow them to retain their estates. For the Incan people really desired to show that they didn't want the people they took over to be so mad as to revolt against the royal person, the Incan leader, and reject the Incan friendship. So they really wanted to create friendships with the people whose territory they took over. When the Incans built cities in their conquered areas, they made sure that the architecture of the government buildings was the same all over the empire. They really wanted to make sure that the presence of the government was very apparent. And all roads led to the capital, Cuzco. It was a splendid city of temples, plazas, and palaces. And you can see from this map I've put on the Prezi slide, you can kind of see how far-flung their empire really was. The government, and right here I'm going to get into a little of complex institution information when I talk about the government's role, but that's okay. The government regulated the education of the local elite among the conquered people to ensure their allegiance, and schools would teach the Incan ways. Protest was dealt with by the military force, followed by the resettlement of the disaffected people to reduce the potential for further trouble. They didn't want to get any mob rioting going on. They were a lot less brutal than that of the Aztecs, who we also studied in this chapter. The Incan people were extraordinary organizers and administrators. And on this slide, complex institutions, I'm not going to read you every bullet point. You can read that on your own. But I basically just want to suggest with this slide that in order to control the huge empire that they had created, the Incan rulers divided the territory and its people into manageable units governed by a central bureaucracy. They created an efficient economic system to support this empire and an extensive road system to tie it together. And on a later slide, we'll talk about that road system. They also imposed a single official language and founded schools to teach the Incan ways. Certain social groups were identified by officially dictated patterns on their clothing. And all of these actions were calculated to unify the variety of people controlled by the Incan Empire. And it was very effective for the 100 or so years that they were really at the height of the power. Historians have compared the Incan system to a type of socialism or a modern welfare state. Citizens were expected to work for the state and were cared for in return. The aged and disabled were often supported by the state. The state also had public feasts, distributing food and beer as a reward for citizens' labor. And land ownership was divided in three ways. There was state lands, religious lands, and community lands. Farmers worked on all three types of land. And the government expanded on irrigation systems that were developed by earlier people. So the Incan people really created a massive water management system that stored water for the dry season. They even straightened an entire river channel to better provide water for irrigation. So there are many, many things that the complex institution of government was able to do for the Incan people, which thus helped to spread the empire. Another example of a complex institution for the Incan people would be their form of religion. On the following slide, I'm going to really detail for you how important religion was to the Incan people. That slide, as will a couple slides in the rest of this presentation, they will have no audio on them because they're so dense you just need to read them.
In addition to complex institutions, the Incan people also had advanced technology, and I will showcase that by talking about their stone building in the very next slide. The Incan masonry amazed the conquistadors, who could not understand how the Incan people put together such enormous stones without mortar or draft animals, and it was extraordinarily durable. A U.S. explorer by the name of Hiram Bingham photographed various fortresses that he found in 1913 that were in near perfect condition despite 4 centuries of neglect. And I've showcased for you in this image just one example of the Incan masonry, which really was an advanced technology. Now, on the following slide, I'm going to go into a little more detail about the advanced technology of the Incan people. There is no audio on the next slide. The Incan people, with their stone masonry and their skillful use of technology, were able to build incredible road systems and also a terracing system for their crops. On the next slide, which has no audio on it, it's just for you to read, you'll see some information about the magnificent road system they built and also the system of crop terracing they used. The images on the next slide are not that big, but hopefully that'll give you an idea of the road system and the terracing. On the next slide, I want to detail for you the record-keeping system of the Incan people. Despite the sophistication of many aspects of Incan life, they never developed a writing system. And remember, a form of record-keeping is one of our key characteristics to make something a civilization. So their history and literature were memorized. So as you continue to proceed through this lecture, I want you to think about, was the Incan civilization really a civilization if they had no formal means of record keeping? And the next slide has no audio. Well, if the Inca were so incredible in terms of the size of their empire and the civilization they created with their advanced technology, their road system, stone masonry, their complex institutions, their somewhat different form of record keeping, their specialized workers, and their advanced cities, how the heck did this empire fall in such a short period of time? Why was it only in existence for approximately 100 years? Well, the answer is quite complex. And in this picture I'm giving you right on this slide, it depicts a battle between the Spanish in 1532 and the Incan people. And many historians once believed it was due to the fact that, as you can see in this photo, the Incan people did not possess guns, and that was their downfall, and the ability to make those guns with steel. However, more research has gone into the destruction of the Incan Empire, and the answer is not quite as simple as just saying the Incan people lacked the ability to create guns.